This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to the final edition of Pets Allowed for 2012. Don't stress, we will be back next year. It's just, we're taking a bit
hopefully.
Of a break. No, not hopefully, Kate. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's with today
sorry,
as we all know.
You're right.
If
the world ends by the end of today, then no, we won't be back, but no one will be here to listen to us anyway.
That's right. Yes, no, but we will be and Joy will be here as well.
That's right. Now, I am Kevin.
I'm Oslam.
I'm Kate.
Hang on, what happened there?
Where's Alan, actually?
He's busy today, isn't he?
That's right. And
we
might talk about why Alan's busy.
Yeah, I think we will. Coming up in our news wrap, we'll talk about what Alan's doing. Actually, he's headlining our news wrap.
Oh, is he?
That's news to him. His ears are probably pricked up when I said that.
He's going, hang on a second.
Yeah, so we'll be doing our news wrap later in the program. But today, we're actually just looking back on the year that was. Lots of things, you know, exciting things happened on the program, and we're going to be checking in on them.
It has been a really busy 12 weeks whilst we've been on air, not just here, but also at the Lost Dogs Home as well. We've had some really exciting stuff happening. Kate, what was some of your highlights from this last 12 weeks?
Well, I think Don't Blame the Dog was a real highlight for the home, and also to talk about it here on Joy as well. Mm. It was fantastic to have that opportunity to reach a global audience. You said, Oz, I mean, I said just to reach a wide audience, but in fact it was a global audience to talk to them or raise awareness for responsible pet ownership, which is really, you know, part of the Lost Dogs Home's mission and vision, and it is to improve responsible pet ownership for dogs and cats. So that was fantastic, and the support that we got from people who watched that show. So
It was also, I reckon, we had 12/12 Pet ID Day recently as well, which was a great day about identifying, updating and reuniting. So, you know, making sure your pets are identified, updating your details to make sure that, you know, if you've moved house, which I'm going to have to do soon, I need to make sure all my details are
me
up
too.
To date.
Yeah.
Yeah, you too, Kate. And so that we can reunite you with your pet if anything does happen at all. Oz, what has been some of your highlights?
I've always looked forward to Alan's Q&A, simply because I love the way he sort of puts the Q&As together, but also the questions that we got from our listeners. They've been really great. So they've given us an opportunity to explore, you know, lots of things and inform you on your vet care, basically. Also, Taste of Radio was lots of fun.
Yeah, I love that. It was great, wasn't it? A great group of people. And Leanie.
Definitely. I mean, Taste of Radio was a course that we did, so we could come along and volunteer and do this program every week. And Leanie was our trainer, and she was really fantastic, had a bunch of really great volunteers in there as well. That was quite brilliant. So if you're interested in radio, I definitely would recommend checking that out.
Yeah, check it out on the Joy website, which is joy.org.au. So today on Pets Allowed, we're going to wind back the clock to check out some of our favourite interviews and segments of the last, well, since we began, so the last 12 weeks or so.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
But we want to hear from you as well, so let us know what your favourite segments have been on Pets Allowed this year. Sorry, I can't talk right now. You can also SMS us 0427-JOY-949 or call us 1300-JOY-949. Coming up, we're going to bring you up to speed on the news of the week with the Lost Dogs Home News Rack. Rack.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know what we're expecting of this news rack, Kevin.
Well, I guess we're going to find out, aren't we?
Serious news.
That's right, it is serious news.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. It is time to wrap up the news and the main events of the week. Well, as we said before, we gave a little bit of a teaser to where Alan is. It's been a really busy week at the Lost Dogs Home. It's been a week all fronts, actually. Kate, come on, let the cat out of the bag. What is the secret that we've been holding on to?
Well, today, the Frank Samways Vet Clinic is open for the first time. So that's amazing. That's the cat. It's really exciting. And it looks absolutely fantastic. It's the state of the art. It, you know, for us at the Lost Dogs Home, who are used to the really small, cramped conditions of the old veterinary clinic, this really is an amazing facility. We're so excited to be able to offer this to dogs and cats. And I think, you know, it's a really fantastic legacy for Frank. Mm. Having known Frank and the wonderful man he was, this really is an amazing legacy that's going to have a really positive effect on the lives of dogs and cats
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've been talking about this for weeks now, and it's just great to see it's finally happened. So if you want to know more, you can actually visit our Facebook page and our website. We've just popped up a story about the Frank Samways Vet Clinic with a couple of photos, so you can check it out and see what it's like. But why not come down?
That's right. Drop in yourself.
Yeah. If you need next vet visit, or even if it's just a vaccination, we can do microchipping vaccination, simple checkups to more complex surgeries and treatments. But yeah, come and have a look and meet some of our staff.
Absolutely. And we had a few of the very first operations happening yesterday as well on some of the stray animals. So that was great to see as well. Now, there's another really great reason to come down and check out the Lost Dogs Home at the moment. Oz, what's happened?
We've had a fantastic renovation to our cat adoption centre at the North Melbourne shelter. And basically the renovation has seen a whole new area for cat condos that are split level, have a ensuite and a private bedroom, and that are all individually ventilated to prevent the spread of cat flu. So there's these condos that are available for the cats there, and also a separate area where you can actually spend time with the cats. So for instance, if you come along this weekend and you'd like to meet one of the cats in person, you'll be able to spend some time in that open area, patting, playing, getting to know their temperament, which we feel is going to be really great in increasing our adoptions as well, because people will be able to gauge whether that the cat that they've come for is the right cat for them. And that did happen just last weekend. Star, one of our long-term residents, was adopted and is our first cat to be adopted from the centre.
And we also have, I think the one thing you forgot was the sort of what we call the showers, which are these large multi-level glass-fronted cages where we can have things like families of kittens and cats that have been there for a while that need that little bit of extra space. And they're great as well, because I've actually been in them whilst there's been a family of kittens in there, and they tend to sort of climb you because they go, oh, there's a person in here, let's play with them. And those levels are connected via ramps and everything as well. Now, we're going to be putting some more information about our new cat adoption centre on our website dogshome.com over the weekend, but definitely please, you know, if you want to come down.
We've actually got lots of cats, kittens and dogs up for adoption this weekend, so it's a perfect time to come in and adopt really some lovely dogs and cats,
especially with the holiday season coming up as well, because you know, kids have time off school, people have time off work. It's a great time to settle in a dog or cat into your family as well. Coming up, we're going to start looking at our favourite segments from the last 12 weeks, I suppose, so one from each of us. So right now we're going to take a look at some of our favourite moments from the past 12 weeks. As you know, if anyone's been listening for the last 12 weeks, you'll know a lot about me and about how I really feel about behaviour and training and obedience and all that sort of stuff. So of course, I took a look at show number 6, which is where we talked about the behaviour rehabilitation program. Generally speaking, their owners don't claim them because they feel they're a nuisance or don't want to deal with that problem behaviour. Now, these dogs are generally adolescent or young dogs that might have been obtained as a puppy, and then once they start acting up, they get sent to the shelter.
A high number of unclaimed dogs at the home need additional training and socialisation before going up for adoption. The Lost Dogs Home has a comprehensive behaviour modification program run in conjunction with Planet Canine.
So the program gives dogs with behaviour problems the opportunity to be rehabilitated and better their chances of getting adopted and staying in a new home. So Alan, I'll throw this question over to you. How do you identify if a dog needs to go into the program?
Well, a lot of dogs will pass our assessment outright, and that's fine. They can go straight to adoptions, but with some dogs we may be a little bit unsure, so we'll pass them over to behaviourists so that they can spend a little more time investigating their behaviour in more depth. Other dogs will show signs of behaviour which will make them difficult to adopt or difficult to settle them into a new home. So the behaviourists and the trainers can spend time with those dogs so that they can assess the behaviour and then teach them new behaviours over a period of time. Sometimes we get, you know, lots of little timid dogs that are really scared, and in that case we can send them onto our foster carers so they can build up their confidence. So there are lots of different ways that dogs can go through the home.
Each dog is so individually different. You know, we know that by our own experience with our own pets. Is this program tailored to the dog's needs?
Yeah, so we have Nicole, who's our dog behaviour specialist that works at the home. She also runs Planet Canine, and she tailors a program for each of the dogs. So our animal attendants at the the Lost Dogs Home have what they call Project Dogs. So it's a dog that they work with that is in the behaviour rehabilitation program that has a project. So it might be a scared dog that they just need to take out for 15 minutes a day so that it starts getting used to having people around or things like that. So that's all documented, and they write their comments afterwards as well. So it means that when someone comes to adopt that dog, once they've passed the behaviour rehabilitation and up for adoption, it means that that person that's going to adopt them knows more about them because they've had that experience.
And I think, during the adoption process as well, having had that the dog sort of profiled in a way enables us to find the right people.
That's right.
To adopt the dogs.
Yeah, and the adoption team really makes sure that, and Nicole as well, or anyone who's worked with that dog, makes sure that they're actually going to the right person and all that information is passed on to them so they know exactly what they're taking on, and we can be sure that they're going to commit to that dog to continue the training or the socialisation. Sometimes, every dog at the Lost Dogs Home actually gets a free post-adoption training session. Mm. That's one of the services that we offer. But sometimes these behaviour modification or rehabilitation dogs need more than that. And on occasion, we'll give them a whole many sessions with Nicole or one of her trainers.
So, for example, the dog that I spoke about before, Miri, she came into the home about 3 weeks ago, and she was put on a program and she was put into behaviour rehabilitation because initially she was terrified. She was quite scared. She would not go near me because I was filming her. I was working on a video for her. And so she was working with Louise, who's one of our animal attendants, and she got that program and everything like that, and which meant that when Miri got to a place where we could adopt her out, they had all that information. They knew that she was first scared of water, but now she loves water and she can't keep her away. She was found in a river. So she had that terrified thing first. So part of it was about creating positive experiences for her, and also positive experiences around people because she was quite frightened of people as well. So, it is an important program at the Lost Dogs Home because there is so much that we have to do for some of these dogs.
Mm-hmm. And it just seems like following the adoption, having these dogs return to the home, for training would be a great way to stay in touch with how they're going and seeing their progress.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really rewarding to see them.
We've been doing this for about a year now, isn't it? Or maybe a couple of years. Yes. And it all changed because before that we were only allowed to keep animals in the shelter for 28 days, which didn't really give us enough time to do anything with them. But the state government changed the code of practice recently, and that means that we can keep them for as long as we need.
Yeah, so they can be in rehabilitation for as long as it needs to adjust their behaviour.
Yep.
And also, once they got for adoption, sometimes dogs just take that bit longer to find the right owner. So we have the luxury now of just keeping them for as long as it takes.
And it makes the whole system much more flexible.
Absolutely.
And it is the same with cats as well. So cats that stay at the shelter for quite a while. We have had cats that have been there for 2-3 months, 4 months sort of thing, just looking, waiting for that new home. And we've had dogs that have been through behaviour rehabilitation that may require special needs and may require that special owner, and it can happen. They can stay for 3 or 4 months until that person comes along, and then they find that great new owner, and it's really lovely.
It's that old saying, there's someone for everyone.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions about our behaviour rehabilitation program at all, or just anything we're talking about today, just SMS us 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, just quickly, Kate, one of your dogs, Tess, I think she's called now. I knew her as Winnie when she was actually in the behaviour rehabilitation program. How is she going? Has there been benefit from the program?
Oh, absolutely. She's coming ahead in leaps and bounds. I've spent a lot of time with her, exposing her to different situations. She goes for lots of walks. She's actually living with other dogs. She's still a little bit timid, and I think she'll be timid for some time. But when I first met her, she was hiding under the bed. Now, she wouldn't do that now, so she is progressing. And I must say, it is completely rewarding seeing her in a safe new home and just, getting more and more confident every day.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, Kate, we just had a call in.
Yes, we did. We had a call from Andrew. Thanks, Andrew, for calling in. He asked a question, but the nature of the show, we're actually just going over, our highlights. We're not actually taking any questions today, but we'd love to get back to you, Andrew. So if you could possibly SMS your contact number and we'll give you a call, or you could email us at lostdogshome@joy.org.au. We're also away for 2 weeks, so, we'd like to get back to you within that time. So thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. Now, Oz, what do we have coming up for us now?
Well, we've actually got Alan's highlight coming up right now. Alan really liked our interview on volunteering. Just a couple of weeks back, we looked at the Lost Dogs Home Volunteering Program for International Volunteers Day. And here we've started off by having a chat with Jan. She's one of our long-term volunteers.
Let's have a listen.
I retired at the end of 2010 from working as a teacher. So as I was getting close to retiring, I was looking at wanting to do something. Well, I had a love of dogs. My dog comes from Lost Dogs Home. 14 years ago, I got him. So a friend, a sister that works here, so she said there was a volunteer program. So I just inquired and got an application form and, yeah, applied to come and do it.
And so what would a typical day entail?
Well, I come 2 mornings a week. So on the Tuesday morning I come and they run behaviour modification classes. So they're for dogs that aren't ready to be adopted either because they're too timid or they're too boisterous or there's some problem. So Nicole and Noel are the trainers and there's volunteers, sometimes up to 3 or 4 volunteers in the class helping out. So we'll be given a dog, we'll be told history of the dog and what they're trying to work towards. And then you work with Nicole and Noel to help that dog. So that's sort of good because then you see at the end of it the dogs make it to adoptions and then get a home. So that's a really positive thing to be involved in. And then Thursday mornings I come and we do off-premises walking, which is great. So we meet about 8:30, quarter to 9. Sometimes there's up to 5 of us. Take a dog each. We walk down to Moon Ponds Creek or around North Melbourne Football Ground, going different ways. But by taking, we have a dog each, by taking them off premises, they actually relax because when they're here, you hear all the other barking and everything else going on, whereas once they're out in the street, you can see them just enjoy a really nice walk. So last Friday we walked 15 dogs, which was fantastic to be able to do that. And that's all virtually before 10 o'clock, before the home opens.
If listeners out there have driven through North Melbourne during the morning, they will have seen volunteers.
Right.
As far as I can see, just behind you, there's a fluoro vest with reflectors on it. So that's
right.
What you normally wear when you go out?
That's what we wear. And, so we walk different paths around. But often it's funny because there'll be people working in the street and they won't even realise that you can actually get a dog from the Lost Dogs Home. So it's interesting, the people that don't even realise that there's plenty of dogs. So I suppose by being out there, we're a bit of an ad as well, a bit of publicity.
A public presence.
Yeah, you get really lots of positives from people in the street as well, which is good. Yeah.
Going back to the point that you mentioned before with behaviour modification or rehabilitation, actually, seeing a dog go through a transition like that, what are the personal rewards with seeing
huge.
That for you?
I was going to say, this sort of, I suppose, a really good example was a dog called Scout that was here, really timid first time I went to a cage. She cowed at the back of the cage. She barked at me. I had to sit in a cage for about 10 minutes with my back to her, and she gradually crawled a bit closer. I had to give her treats to get her to close to me. But then over weeks, I got to the stage where I'd get to the door, she'd jump up, she'd be happy to see me, she'd come out straight away. Then we got to the stage of walking in the street, which I sort of, I don't know, I never believed we sort of get to because she was so timid and scared. Built that up, and then about 2 or 3 weeks ago, a young couple came in and adopted her. So, I mean, that's fantastic. That's what you want to get her to that stage. But certainly that's the rewards that come from it.
And just a bit about yourself. Would you say that you're an animal lover?
Yeah,
always.
Always
that,
like
that's
animals.
An obvious
dogs,
question.
Cats,
but
chooks, whatever. Yeah. I have dogs and cats at home. But an older dog now, so... And I can't walk in fast. So the other side, I suppose, of coming was that bit of exercise for me, of doing the dog walking. But, I mean, there's so many varied people in the volunteer program. There's a guy who comes before work. So he comes, does the street work, then he goes to work. There's a girl who does a similar thing. Somebody who does casual work. So she'll come in, but some days she'll be working, she can't come. So it's not just people who are retired. Anybody can do it. It's just fitting it into the day, or if you have one day a week off. But it certainly is a very rewarding thing to be able to do, that's for sure. I love it, I must admit.
That was Jan, a long-term volunteer at the home. She's been volunteering here for, I think, a couple of years, which is great. And we are talking volunteering. We have in the studio today with us Elena, our volunteer coordinator.
So, Elena, you have lots of different groups of volunteers who come in to spend time at the home. What do you think they take from the experience?
I think they take home a great deal of experience. Firstly, I feel that they find it extremely rewarding and that they are helping out in a great way. They're not only helping out, I suppose, you know, to better the lives of these animals, but they're also taking a lot of hands-on experience also.
And where do the groups come from? What sort of people do you have?
So we've got people from all walks of life. So we've got our, you know, people that are our corporates, people who you know, work full-time. We've got other great community welfare groups that come in. So people, you know, who may have slight, you know, learning disabilities, they come in and they really, you really do see how much this betters the lives of these people, and also helping them to you know, gain social skills with one another. And this is a great way for them to interact with one another.
So I was just going to ask, Jan talked about off-premises dog walking as well. Now, I believe that's something that changed with the legislation. Can you tell us a bit about the off-premises dog walking? How does that help?
So the off-premises dog walking is designed to get these animals that are in our kennels and up for adoption off premises, getting them out, as it can be quite a stressful environment for these dogs. So getting them out, getting them used to different, you know, stimuli. It's an environmental enrichment for these animals.
So it's really good. I mean, it means the dogs get to see what real life is like before they go up.
Exactly, they're exposed to different noises, to, you know, to trains, to cars, to people on bikes, to different smells, which is really good as well for their, you know, that they need that as well.
Yeah, because it's a really mixed environment around North Melbourne, isn't it? You've got parks, you've got trains, lots of traffic. You've got factories.
There's a creek there as well.
But they don't get to swim, do they?
They don't get to swim. No. And can I just say, I just want to say also a big thank you to this group that commit their time on it. Weekly basis, every week, over and over again, they're the same people that come through. So thank you very much for making that program as great as it is.
And it is just amazing to hear how Jan mentioned that people put aside time before work, even, you know, people that are working full time that start at 9 come in just before work to participate.
I do. I've got a one girl in particular who actually salary sacrifices her wage to take time off to come into the home.
So if you would like to volunteer at the Lost Dogs Home, we are going to talk about this a little bit later.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
We are talking all about volunteering now. I'm Kevin.
I'm Muslim.
Alan.
And Elena.
Hey. We have a very special guest in here, Elena, our volunteer coordinator. It's great to have you in here.
Thank you.
Now, Elena, if I wanted to start volunteering at the Lost Dogs Home, what would I do?
Okay, so firstly, you need to be over the age of 18. You'll need to complete a volunteer application form, so you can download that from our website, or you can pop into the shelter to obtain one. You'll then need to also attach a written reference, either from a previous or current workplace or volunteer organisation. And then finally, you'll also need to obtain a police check and a copy of your photo ID.
Now, if you are interested in becoming a volunteer at the Lost Dogs Home and you do want to get that police check, if you mention that you're doing it for the Lost Dogs Home, you actually do get a bit of a discount as well. So you can also contact our volunteer coordinator, Elena, on 0393218786, or visit our website, dogshome.com, to find out more information about volunteering at the Lost Dogs Home.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
As we heard from the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Switchboard just a short time ago, we're actually going to be hearing from Margaret Cannington, who is from the Switchboard itself. We spoke with her earlier this year, a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago. I'm getting it all mixed up here, Kev. Just about World Mental Health Week and World Mental Health Day.
So you're pulling a Kevin today.
Here's the interview. The Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is a free telephone counselling service that takes around 1,000 calls per year from those within the GLBTI community on a range of issues, including concerns around depression and anxiety.
So joining us in the studio today to talk about these issues and how pets have helped people in the GLBTI community, Q community, pull through tough times is Margaret Cannington, a spokesperson for the Switchboard. Also joining us is Lost Dogs Home senior veterinarian Dr. Alan Bolton. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you.
So we heard that the Switchboard takes in about 1,000 calls per year. What sort of calls do you receive?
Look, it's a whole range of calls, really. It can range from some people that are just ringing up for a chat, you know, someone to connect in with, to what I guess people, you know, to the more serious matters. Mm-hmm. So people who are thinking about suicide or generally finding life really tough at the moment. So a whole range of matters, and we don't limit the age range either. So we've had callers, you know, as young as 14, 15, still at school, to, you know, in their 80s and beyond.
Do you find, especially with the younger callers, is it more about the feeling of sort of isolation with coming out and everything like that, or is it just that they need someone to talk to and they don't really have that person?
Sure, look, you touched on a really key word there, actually, which is isolation, and that's an issue not just for the younger callers, although that's definitely there, but it's also basically all, I won't say all our callers, but a lot of our callers are dealing with isolation in some way or another, so it's a really big factor.
So I know I've had personal experience with this, and it's definitely been somewhere when I've been growing up that my pets have actually been the ones to help me through. And Alan, I believe you're quite the same, aren't you?
Well, yes, I grew up in the west, in the northwest of Ireland in the 70s and 80s, and it really wasn't a very gay-friendly place then. The troubles were going on. There was lots of violence, and my dogs and my horse helped me through a really difficult time, and made my life a lot less isolated, and brought me through and got me where I am today.
Now, we do want to hear from you guys as well, so make sure you email us on air at joy.org.au, give us an SMS 0427 joy949 or phone 1300 joy949. Have you, you know, spoken to someone at the switchboard, or how have your pets helped you through a tough time as well? So this is Pets Allowed. We're currently talking about mental health and pet ownership in the GLBTIQ community with Margaret Cannington from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard.
If you think you need to speak with someone, please call Lifeline, the 24-hour crisis support service, on 13 11 14. 13 11 14. If you think you have a medical emergency, please contact your GP or call 000. For more information on Depression Beyond Blue, is a service that you can get that information from. Their number is 1300 224 636. And at this point, I think we should also mention the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard number, which is 9663 2939.
Now, or if I could, sorry, to add in there, we've also got a 1-800 number, which is for regional or Tasmania, so 1-800-184-527 as well.
That's great. And I mean, the switchboard does run at different times throughout the day, generally in the evenings, isn't it?
It is in the evenings, yeah. So we run 6 to 10 on weekdays, 6 to 9 on weekends, and extended hours 2 to 10 on Wednesdays.
So you can visit www.switchboard.org.au to check out those times as well. Now, obviously, being a pet-related show, we want to bring this a bit back to pets and mental health and everything like that. So it's been said that about 80% of Australian households own pets. What role, Margaret, would you say that pets play in the lives of the people in the GLBTIQ community?
Sure. Well, look, we keep coming back to this keyword of isolation in what we've been talking about so far, and it comes back to then if you have someone or a puppy dog face or a lovely cat face to come home to, or even if it's just fish, you know, it's something to come home to. It can give people a sense of routine. It, when dealing with depression particularly, it can be difficult to leave the house. So if you've got some dog breath in your face saying, I need to go for a walk now, it's pretty hard to ignore that. So it can play, pet ownership can play a huge role in reducing that sense of isolation, and as well really helping, you know, some of the things that we know help work with people that are experiencing depression.
So just quickly, how do you feel that the contact with companion animals has a positive impact? Do you see that? Do you hear it from callers? Do they talk about their pets, that sort of stuff? Do you see it through the switchboard?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Particularly our callers that are ringing to connect in and have a chat with a person. A lot of the, obviously, these people can't spend all day, every day talking to switchboard or to various support lines. So contact with their animals is often what stops them from feeling alone, and they will actually say that, or yeah, the counsellors have said that's what actually they express during the calls is, oh no, I'll be right when I finish on the call with you because Betsy is here and we're going to have a cup of tea together and then we're going to go to bed. And it's that sense of we rather than I'm all alone and no one really knows that I'm around.
Yeah, and look, it's great to hear that you are actually finding that out and that people do have their pets as a support, which is, you know, obviously what we love as well. Thank you so much. There is so much we could talk about with the switchboard, but, you know, that, you know, we were talking to Margaret Cannington from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. More info can be found at www.switchboard.org.au.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
So my favourite part of the of the last 12 weeks is when we talked about mental health of our pets. I just love the relationship between people and their pets. So we talk about how we maintain our pets' mental health. And I think from in doing that, it leads really to our own mental health. So here we go.
Now we're going to look at returning the favour and discussing how to keep your pet happy. Now we do need to highlight that this is general advice. If you are concerned at all about your pet, please contact your vet directly. Now, what we're not suggesting, you know, if you're feeling depressed or anxious to go out and adopt a pet or buy a pet or anything like that. We're not suggesting that. You need to actually think about these things first. You know, you've got to predict the future. Well, you can't predict the future, but you need to sort of a little bit. You need to try as hard as you can. Are you thinking about going away? Are you thinking about going overseas? Are you going to be moving house? You need to think about the effects that these are going to have on your pets. Remember, dogs can live up to 15 years generally, and some cats can even live older than that, I believe. So, you know, think about that. And you also need to be able to think about your daily routine. How can you bring your pet into your daily routine? Now, Kate, what was the biggest commitment you had to look at when adopting, well, three dogs?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest commitment for me is getting out and walking them every day, or twice a day. I actually walk them twice a day every morning. I get up at 5:30 to get that half an hour walk in with them, and then I know that they're going to be settled for the day while I go out to work, and I also walk them before I go to bed again, so they'll settle for the night and they've had their toilet stops and they're happy, and they look forward to it. Like, it's really important. I know when I'm running a bit late, you know, they let me know it's time for a walk. And it's not just about the exercise, and I think this is helps with the animal's mental health and combats boredom. It's about, you know, being stimulated while they're out walking. They love smelling, they're like, what other dog is living on the block, mm-hmm. and as well as socializing with who they meet, and it's also, I find for me, it's great, it's just great to clear my head. I, you know, if it's a cold night or a cold morning, I don't feel like getting out of bed or getting out of my chair to go out, but once I've done it, I think, wow, that was really, really good. And it's really quality time with them. If I take my son, it's quality time with him as well, so I think it's great for us and the dogs.
It's also important to consider where you live, your house, isn't it, Ellen?
Yeah, there's been a real change over the last few decades in the way Australians live. Less of us have big backyards, and we're moving into apartments, living in the CBD. Especially many GLBTIQ people live in the CBD. Although many people who do live in apartments can successfully own dogs, you have to remember it requires extra commitment, and you should really think what kind of pet is suited to you. If you live in an apartment, you're going to have to take your dog out four or five times a day. You can't really leave them along all day, so there's extra work involved.
And, you know, there's also the financial cost to think about as well. So, Alan, how much would a dog or a cat cost about per year?
We estimate that a dog costs around about $1,800 per year, and a cat probably about $1,200. But that's without any expensive things that might go wrong. You know, if your dog gets out and gets hit by a car and breaks a leg, that can cost thousands. And chronic diseases such as skin disease or diabetes can add up to quite a lot of money over a long period.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
You are on Pets Allowed. We are talking about how to keep your pet in good mental health. Now, Alan, what are some of the things that you might see if your pet is getting a bit bored?
There are lots of signs. Barking, whining, dogs that get out a lot, so escaping, and dogs who destroy things are all signs that your dog might be bored. Now, these symptoms can also occur with separation anxiety, which is a much more serious issue and certainly would need veterinary and maybe specialist treatment. Dogs with separation anxiety show signs such as trembling, compulsive behavior such as licking or tail chasing, or, you know, chewing themselves constantly. So that's just something to watch out for.
And if you do see any of these symptoms, you should definitely go and see a vet. Is that right, Art?
Generally, if you're concerned about your dog, your vet is the first person you should talk to.
That's right. And okay, so if I have a dog and I notice maybe, especially during winter when you sort of feel like, oh, I don't really want to go out, I don't really want to take them for a walk, what are kind of some of the things that you can actually do to help improve their mental health?
Training is a big one. Training, exercise, and mental stimulation are the main keys to preventing them getting bored. You know, a tired dog is a well-behaved dog. The other thing is toys. Give them toys to play with whenever you're not there. And there's no point in leaving the same 30 toys lying in the backyard. What you should do is use five or six different ones and change them every day. You can get specialized toys such as Kongs, or you can get food balls, which you can put food in, and they're designed so that the dog has to sort of play with them and tease the food out of them throughout the day. Or you can simply just hide food around the yard.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. This week's Pet of the Week.
Every week on Pets Allowed, we bring you a Pet of the Week. Now, of course, this week is no different aside from the fact that we've been going through our favourite moments of the last 12 weeks. So, Kate, who do we have this week?
Well, this week we have a lovely black Labrador cross, and having owned a black Labrador for 14 years, I'm very partial to him. He's a beautiful boy. He's got a lovely personality. He's 5 years, and if anyone's owned a lab, you know that they can be very young and bouncy at that age. They do take a while to grow up. So he's playful and will probably, well, we know definitely will benefit from some ongoing training. So if a family who adopts him could commit to that, it would be great. He will like regular walks. Now, he would be the perfect boy to bring home for Christmas. The Labradors are not bar humbug type of dogs. They're very up and happy, and I'm sure he'll help you eat your Christmas dinner. That's Rocky, and Rocky's available now for adoption at the Lost Dogs Home. You can call the Lost Dogs Home for more information on 9329 2755, or Rocky's ID, and you can quote Rocky's ID number, which is 823993.
Now, if Rocky is going to help you eat your Christmas dinner, just make sure it's food that's okay for Rocky to
eat. Of course, sorry. Yes, exactly. We'll have to be responsible with that.
No chocolate, no onion, no garlic. If you want to catch that, we did talk about that on our previous show, so you can check out our podcast online at joy.org.au.
But Labradors make the best companions. They're really lovely, lovely dogs, and you know, easy to train, so I really recommend them.
Excellent. Yeah. So before we finish from the year, we just want to say a huge thank you to some of the people at Joy that have made our experience here fantastic for the last 12 weeks. Oz?
Yeah, we'd love to send a special thanks out to everybody, including Chris. We'd like to thank Leanie. We'd love to thank Jason, Philippe,
Conrad.
The list goes on.
Sammy,
of course.
Yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure, hasn't it?
It has. It really feels like we've been a part of the family.
Yeah.
And really invited to be a part of the family. So we're really, really happy and pleased about that.
So I guess we're each going to send a bit of a Christmas message as well, but my one is don't forget to buy some gifts for your pet, because you don't want to just buy gifts for yourself, buy some gifts for your pet, but also think about those animals that are sitting in the shelters at the moment. You know, they need that love as well. They need to be able to feel like they're having a Christmas. If they can't find a home before Christmas, please, you know, just make sure that they have somewhere, you know, something. We've got our Woolworths Christmas appeal going on at the moment. You can donate food. We also have our best friends are doing a share the care promotion for us as well. So please think about those animals at Christmas time. Kate, what about you?
I think ID, that's always top of mind for me. If you're going away, having done a few after hours shifts with the National Pet Register recently, I can't stress how important it is to make sure that you've got ID on your pets, and to make sure that your contact details are up to date. So that's my big message. Kev, I agree. Adoption is just the best option, really. And if you are considering taking a dog or a cat into your home, please consider adopting a pet from the Lost Dogs Home. We have so many deserving dogs and cats there that, you know, really will just give twofold back with everything that you give them.
And definitely.
Oslam, what's your message?
That would be my message. Think adoption first. You know, this Christmas when you're shopping, and, you know, don't cave into those impulse buyers with the pet shops at these big shopping centres. It's just not the right thing to do. You need to think about it and be a responsible pet owner, and why not look into adopting? There's so many rewards, and it's such a valuable experience.
It is, yeah.
And thank you very much for listening to us over the last 12 weeks. We think it's awesome. It's amazing. We've had so much good feedback and everything like that as well. And we would love to hear from you next year as well. So we should be back around the 11th of January, I believe.
That's right. We're taking 2 weeks off, and we'll be back bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah. Waggy-tailed.
Waggy-tailed, yeah.
But hey, we all will be at work as well. So, right. You know, you can come and see us at the Lost Dogs Home if you want to come say hi.
Oh, yeah. We'll be working during Christmas and New Year's.
It's a busy time for the Lost Dogs Home.
That is right. So thank you very much. It is, definitely a busy time with fireworks and everything like that happening. So remember to keep your pets safe this holiday season. And remember also to, I'm going to throw this one over to Kate.
Walk your dogs and pat your cats.
Thank you so much. You've been with the Lost Dogs Home on Pets Allowed on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.